I guess I got it turned on, man. I can hear it. These microphones don't get along real well with me. Some of you have probably never heard me talk. I've done various jobs through the years up with this cowboy church. There's a lot of good folks here. I had some hard times back about several years ago. And I was an elder here, had a lot of surgeries, had knees replaced, shoulders, back surgery. Lost my wife to a divorce. And these folks stood by me the whole time. And I want to thank each and every one here. These teams that they got, they're very important to this church. I've got to serve on probably nearly every one of the teams at some time or another, and it's rewarding to get to do the work of the Lord. I mean, not everybody's going to be called to get up and preach, and when I get through, y'all will probably say, no, you wasn't either, but I hope to stay out of the way and let the Lord do the talking and bring His Word to you today. What I'm wanting to talk to you about today is it's been on my heart for about 2 years now. I watch the news every day, and I see all the things going on, and I'm not going to get into politics, but there's a lot of evil in this world right now. Y'all don't need me to tell you that. But I can tell you we can thrive in evil, in an evil environment, and we can be a peculiar people that God has called and have people wanting what we've got. We don't have to be beat down by this evil world, because we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that's guiding us. All we've got to do is seek His Word and read in it each day, and He'll show us what He wants us to do. He'll strengthen us. I was proud to just make it up these steps this morning with both knees replaced and that back surgery. I've got a foot dropped, and I gained a bunch of weight, and I'm not horseback no more, but I've got a goal of getting back a horseback. So I'm going to get on with this sermon. It's going to be stepping up to be the man that God called you to be. And I promise you, ladies, it's not going to be... I think you might be proud of what you're hearing, because I've been seeing it for a lot of years. And my wife, Julie McCarver Lee, she couldn't be here today. She's at the Methodist Church where her mom goes. They're having Laity Sunday today, and they're going to honor her mother for a lifetime achievement today. So she had to be there with her mother. So my right hand's not with me, so... It's the good Lord and me here. So, and I can feel the prayers of all of y'all. Thank you. Okay, stepping up to be the man that God called you to be. The best analogy that I could come up with on that was you take a young man that's got a colt. His daddy or somebody give it to him. He's raised that colt up. He's fed him. He's nurtured him. He's worked with him in the round pen. And he's built a trust with that colt. And he's been watching older men his whole life, watching how they do to break those colts, and he's learned, and it's time for him to step up and become a man. He's not a kid anymore. He's got the colt raised. It's time to step up and cowboy up, we like to say. Well, he gets up there, gets a saddle on that colt, and puts that foot in the stirrup, and there's a point from when you get that foot in that stirrup till you get up in that saddle. That's where two people meet. And that's a lot like a husband and a wife, too. You got two different people coming together, and you all got different personalities. But that point, you got to step up in faith. And that faith is where The Lord gives us that faith. If we look to the Lord, we've got that faith. But you step up in that saddle, and that horse, Every instinct in that horse is to flee. That's what's kept horses alive since the dinosaurs. They can flee, they can kick, they can buck. But they've built that trust with his master, that young man. And also what's going on there, that young man, he's not real sure of himself. It's the first one he's ever got on. But he's watched other people do it. He's confident that he knows what to do. Yes, he's probably going to make some mistakes. He's going to learn from getting on that colt. That colt also is learning. Horses, they've got the Lord endowed them with instincts. When you step, anybody that's ever stepped in with a horse or even cattle, they know us better than we know ourselves. If you step in that round pen with in a bad mood or, you know, not feeling good, that horse knows it. And they're going to test you every way they can to test your authority. We test the Lord's authority all the time by wanting to do what we want to do and not being obedient. But at that moment when that cowboy steps in that saddle, that horse can, the way he's treated that horse, he's nurtured it, he's fed it, he's given it the best training. The good cowboys, they don't beat their horses into submission. They don't starve them to where they can't get them down. They study that horse. They take the time to be with that horse to learn what they're scared of, what makes them do this. And at the end of it, hopefully a partnership will begin. And a horse that can't anybody ride, there's no purpose for that horse. That he's just out there. Nobody wants to feed a horse like that. He's going to hurt somebody. And we've got to put ourselves, just like that horse, put ourselves for the Lord like that horse so the Lord can use us. What's so amazing to me is the Lord, when he created this world, this earth, he knew that each and every one of us in here was going to be at what point in time, what we're going to do with the lifetime that we live here. And when I think about that, I don't have the mental capacity to think about that. I just say thank you, Lord. That's all I can do, because it's way above manly strength. Okay, 15 years ago, I was in a counselor's office trying to keep from getting a divorce. And this scripture was pointed out to me, and I want to share it with you today. It's going to be in Genesis 3, verse 6. I'll give you just a minute to get there. And I know I told my wife, I said, a good preacher has got to start reading about when everybody's about halfway there. So they reading while you're talking. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. That's, of course, this is the fall of man. This is when Adam and Eve were in the garden. And we hear a lot about Eve getting the fruit, but what's not talked about very much is Adam was standing right there with her. The Lord had told Adam that food, that's forbidden to us. Adam didn't step up and do what he should have done as the head of his household. And that grave, we all still paying consequences from it. And I'm sure Eve, after that happened, I'm sure she didn't want that responsibility either. And, you know, women, of course, as we know from reading further, you know, women, you know, are punished with pain in childbirth, and men work and sweat for labor. That's the price we paid for not being obedient. And there's another scripture over there in chapter 12. And the man said, the woman who thou gave, the Lord had asked him, they were naked, and the Lord was walking through the garden, and they had hid from him. And he asked him, you know, where are you, and what happened? How did you know you're naked? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Okay, right there in that one statement, the man blamed the woman for giving it to him. He already knew better, but he ate it anyway. He didn't stand up. He was passive. And also, he blamed the Lord for giving the woman to him so it wouldn't happen to him. But he did own up that he did eat it. So, but in that one statement there's a lot of responsibility that the man passed on instead of taking credit for it. And I'm not wanting to beat up on folks too hard. Believe me, I'm beating on myself harder than I am anybody in this room. The Lord designed us to be the head of the household and give us the responsibility to do it. That don't mean we're supposed to rule with an iron hand or an iron fist and to be abusive to kids, make our kids be slaves to us. We're supposed to teach them. We're supposed to nurture. We're supposed to teach our wives as the Lord teaches us. Not that we know everything, but the Lord. We're supposed to seek the Lord as the head of our households and get in His Word. When we're in His Word, He shows us what we need to do to be the leader. We're not the leader just because we're the man. God ordained it, and that was His will, is why we, and men and women help each other. Okay, I'm going to learn a man. You see, in this world we live in today, we see a lot of evil, and we've got all different stages of life amongst us. Some of us are patriarchs of our families. Some of us are just starting. Some of us are adolescents. We're right between a child and a man, trying to figure out what it looks like to be a man. If you watch TV, what you see on TV, it's just not what a man is. If you want to see what a man's supposed to be, get in this Word right here, and the Lord will tell you what a man's supposed to be. As far as they selling all kinds of pills to make you more of a man, the only pill we need is in this Bible. The good Lord gives us the Word. I want to, in this day and time, it says in Revelation about that good will seem like, no, nobody will bear the truth. You're going to have fables and tales, and nobody will listen to the truth. And, you know, so in this day and time that we live in, how do you tell the truth? I mean, it depends on what news channel you go to. You don't know what the truth is if you watch TV. You got to go to the Bible to find out what the truth is. And then with your interaction with people all through the day, the Lord will tell you what's the truth and what's good and what's evil. And I was wanting to read a passage of Scripture that will help you. I'm sorry, I'm not real good at this, but I've got paper clips all over this Bible. Okay, this was Paul talking to the Galatians. And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Those are the things that destroy a man. If a man chooses to do that and make that his whole life, it will eventually destroy him. It'll destroy every relationship he's ever had with his family, with his friends. His horses won't even come up to him because they don't even like to be around him. But it's evil is just like a cancer. It destroys us from inside. And I'm going to read a passage out of a book that described this the best. I couldn't put it in words. I'm not that eloquent. But it's talking about passivity. And Adam was passive there when he was in the garden. He, instead of stepping up and saying, no, we're not going to eat that. The Lord told us not to do it. He ate it anyway. And that was a decision. He didn't do nothing, but he made a big decision when he didn't do nothing. So, and this is a quote. At its core, passivity is cowardice. Okay, what's the opposite of stepping up, standing still, lying down, becoming a couch potato? Male passivity is a disease that robs a man of his purpose, while it destroys marriages, ruins families, and spoils legacies. A passive man doesn't engage in retreats. He retreats. He neglects personal responsibility. At its core, passivity is cowardice. And that was the best definition I've ever saw of that, and I never thought about it. It takes a lot of courage to speak up when everybody else is saying this is the way it ought to be, but you know in your heart that it shouldn't be like that. But we've got to stand up and be the leaders of our households, at our workplace. And we've got to teach our kids right from wrong and help them when they fall down. Not when they fail, not punish them because they failed. I mean, teach them. Say, I'm sorry, I evidently didn't teach you well enough. What can I do to help you? Our co-workers, as we work each day, instead of looking for fault in each other, we should try to help each other. I just got through with a safety conference in Mesquite. It's on behavioral-based safety. And at the heart of this, we call it behavioral-based safety, but at the heart of it, my presentation was on the five languages of appreciation at work. And it's based on the five love languages. Many of you have probably heard about that. We've did it here at the church. I learned about it the hard way at a counselor trying to keep from having a divorce. But I've learned a lot of lessons since then, and I hope I can share it and keep others from going through what I went through. But each one of us, we communicate love and appreciation in a different form. Some of us like acts of service. Some of us like physical touch. Some of us like gifts. Some of us like quality time. Some of us like affirmation. Those are your five. But when we will look at each other and take the time, invest the time in each other to, instead of thinking about what we're going to say next, and I'm stomping all over my feet and saying that because I'm very guilty to be standing there talking to somebody, looking them right in the eye and trying to think about what I'm going to say next instead of looking in their eyes and seeing the pain or the joy or the happiness in their eyes and listening to what they're saying. If we will make a habit of doing that, I think it makes life a whole lot more rewarding. And it all comes from the golden rule. It's not a psychobabble formula. And I got off on a rabbit trail there, and I'm sorry about that. But it ties in together. What I'm seeing out there in the workplace is a hunger, a thirst for people to to do what's right, to know that somebody cares about them, each one of us. When you go to your workplaces, you might not even like the person you're next to, but the Lord liked them. He made them. The Lord created them, and He gave them a special gift. And we should take the time to try to understand them, and you'll find that life's a lot more richer, a lot more rewarding when we take the time to listen to each other and to lift each other up. The Lord says a marriage, in our marriages, which we've got Ephesians 5 and 22. I think he used that last week, actually, in his sermon. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. The Lord is our head, and He's coming back. The Lord was crucified, and He shed His blood for our sins. And He's coming back, and He's coming back for His church. He's gonna come back in the clouds, and we're gonna go meet Him. And that just makes my heart beat pretty fast to think about that. And as much as we might like it here, I can't picture the joy we're gonna have when we go to meet the Lord. And He's gonna teach us. He's got infinite wisdom. I mean, I don't really know what heaven's going to be, because if anything I would try to describe it would fall short. And I teased him with Wendell. I told him, I asked him if he brought him a bag lunch, and I don't want to go to running too long here. But what I ask is challenge myself and everyone else to, men, step up and be the leaders. When you see the things on TV, we got Boy Scouts wanting to join the Girl Scouts, and Girl Scouts wanting to join the Boy Scouts. And when you see something that you know is, when you read this book and it tells you it's wrong, stand up and say it. Don't just go along with it. I hear about, you know, there's no prayer in school. I don't see the jails crammed full of people from praying in school. They might be a few isolated. We've got to step up and just do what's right, and the Lord will lead us and take care of us. He's got plans for us to prosper us, not to harm us. I looked for that scripture this morning to where I could give it to you, and I could not find it. I'm trying to jam too much into this little brain of mine. But what I would like to ask you to do is, whatever you do, seek the Lord first. Seek the Lord. Honor your wives. And then nurture and teach your children in that order. If you don't seek the Lord, you're going to make some mistakes with honoring your wife. And the same thing goes for the wives. I'm not going to be guilty of doing a chauvinistic sermon up here, but I think it might bring comfort to a lot of ladies that a man would step up and take that responsibility. It takes a lot of pressure off of you that some of you have to bear. And, you know, quite frankly, the men ought to be bearing that. And we get through it because the Lord strengthens us to do it, not because we're strong. Any strength we have comes from the Lord. Joshua, when Moses died, the Lord come to Joshua in chapter 1, and He told Joshua, He said, I'm going to just paraphrase this, He said, Be courageous. I will help you. I will protect you. No one can harm you. So what the Lord has ordained is going to happen. I mean, if we seek the will of the Lord, and We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear ridicule. We don't need to fear. Nothing in this world can hurt us. I mean, it can hurt our flesh, mutilate us, maim us, but our spirit is with the Lord, and He can't hurt that. Satan cannot steal that. It belongs to the Lord. Job, he tried to steal it from Job. He knew that Job would cave in and curse the Lord. Job went against all of his, even his wife asked him just because she couldn't stand to see him hurt. His best friends, they asked him. But he stood firm. And at the end of it, Job got well, and the Lord gave him back everything he had lost and more. And I want to close today and say, you know, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you don't have it's not about religion. It's about a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have that daily relationship by praying, by reading in this book. It's funny. You'll read the same scripture 2 days in a row, and He might show you something different each day. But the wisdom in that book, we can't comprehend everything that's in here. But we should surely try. And I want to thank y'all for bearing with me today, and hope I hadn't bored you too much. And thank y'all. Let me pray. I was so nervous when I got up here, I didn't even pray over my sermon. I'm so sorry for that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come to your house and worship today. Lord, I thank you for each and every one here, Lord. I pray that you will show them your plan for their lives, Lord, that strengthen each one that they might have a joy through you, Lord, and that we might be a peculiar people in this world. The world will see that our joy in you and want what you've given us, Lord. Lord, we know we're going to go through pain and strife, and it'll strengthen us. We learn from it. It makes us stronger. Lord, I pray if someone here don't know you, Lord, I pray that they might come to you before it's too late. If there's someone here that's hurting or sick, I pray, Lord, that please strengthen them. I lift them up to you, Lord. Be with us as we go to our homes and as we go to another week, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct us in the way we should go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.